Hello. George Hallford, Local Matters. Really have a treat for our audience this morning. We have Dr. Sam Glasgow, retired physician and one of our top leaders in our community and state in the outdoors environment, catch and release, and we'll talk about that in other programs. But we're very fortunate. We have a program that's second to none in our region. And Sam, I want to welcome you to the program.
Thank you, George.
So we're going to start, and off air, you thought I was kidding, but we're going to talk. Let's start at age of birth. Remember the Billy Graham and other religious leaders said that, you know, in life there's who am I, where did I come from, where am I going? So we're going to start with who are you and where'd you come from, Sam? So let's talk about you and your upbringings and passions and where we're going.
I was born in 1942.
Okay.
And that was the first of twins.
Okay.
So I have a twin sister.
Mm-hmm.
And 1942, my father was in the service.
Okay.
I think we were in Fort Smith, Arkansas,
sure,
or somewhere.
Sure.
And so we lived there. And then eventually we lived in Nashville, Tennessee, where I grew up and lived most of my life.
Did not know that. Okay, good. Yeah.
Nashville, yeah, it was a good town. It was a small town then.
It was.
Not anymore.
No.
But, yeah, Nashville's a great place to go to school. I went to a local public elementary school and had lots of friends and played sports and enjoyed classes. I had good teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, my twin sister was right there. They didn't really separate us, so it was only one class for first class, second class, third class. So we were in the same class together.
Wow.
So, then I have a younger sister, Emily. Mm-hmm. My twin sister is Susie.
Susie, okay.
My little sister is Emily. She's 5 years younger. And then I have a little brother named Bim, Brant, and we call him Bim. And he's an architect in Nashville.
Okay. So everybody, you're not from Nashville, but Nashville's home. I mean, it's where you spent most of your years.
Yes, where I grew up. Mm-hmm.
You said you played sports. What sports did you play?
We all tried to play everything. We played football, basketball, baseball. This is in grammar school. Now, when I went to high school, I was not a fast athlete, but I was a dogged. I was a tough. I played linebacker, and I was only 150 pounds. And we had some small play at MBA as a private
MBA, sure
MBA private high school, and we fought some of the biggest teams in Tennessee, and we'd come out fighting, you know, and we had about a 4-4. Four wins, four losses, and two ties. So, in my senior year. So,
okay.
So, and I made a lot of friends in sports. then I went on to college at Davidson. Davidson College, North Carolina, is an all male school and all boys. I'm sorry. Yeah, all boys. And no girls, and almost no blacks. There was back then we had one Congolese soccer player, and so it was kind of a very select group of guys. But some of my best friends. In fact, I'm going to have my 60th reunion in May, this coming May. 60th reunion.
That's great. So, that's great.
So we're looking forward. We're having a lot of friends that are going to be there.
Davidson College, a university outside of Charlotte. Stephen Curry.
Mm-hmm. Stephen
Curry. MBA star there and a high academic rating. So you went to Davidson, graduated, and then what?
Then I went to medical school at Tulane.
Wow, okay.
Now, I went to Tulane Medical School in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And I did well, but at some point I started losing confidence. I broke up with a girl.
Okay.
And that threw me for a, you know, for a flip, I guess you'd say.
I understand.
And I began to lose confidence. And so in my second year, I talked to the dean. I said, I want to take a leave of absence, and I want to come back when I get myself together.
I understand.
And so he said, well, why don't you just stay here and we'll work it out here? And I said, no, I'm gonna move on, and I'm going to do something else. Well, about that time, that was 1966, in the middle of Vietnam War, and so
yes,
they had my number within weeks. So
well,
I
sure,
had, my,
everybody,
had my physical.
The draft, yes.
And I had been smart enough to apply to the Peace Corps.
Ooh.
Before they tried to
yes.
draft me. So somehow or other, I got deferred, and I went to Thailand for
okay.
2 years, and I worked in the malaria eradication program,
mm-hmm.
which was malaria was pretty bad in Thailand. Although the cities were pretty well, but out in the boonies, where the hill tribes were, they were getting a lot of malaria, and mm-hmm. some of the malaria was quite deadly.
Sam, we've been friends for 20 years, and already I've learned a lot about you. So, George Alford with Dr. Sam Glasgow, retired, on Local Matters. So let's pick up, Sam. I did not know all that. So you're actually in the medical arena.
Yes.
Doing work during the Vietnam War.
Right. What happened was I dropped out of medical school in 66.
Sure.
I came back, and I went into the Peace Corps for 2 years. I I had to tell this on myself, but I thought, well, I'm just going to reapply to Tulane and see how I do. Well, I got down to Tulane again, and I lost the confidence again.
Sure, I understand.
And so I said to my interviewers, I said, I can't come back yet. So okay. And they said, well, this is probably your last chance. And I said, well, that's okay.
So timing was not right.
Sure. Timing was not right. And so I knew I had to get help. So I actually moved to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And I got into therapy.
Yep.
That is really life-changing and really helped me a lot. I had a cousin in Washington, D.C., and I lived in D.C. for 7 years. And I eventually went back to graduate school and got a master's in physiology.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, well, then I decided, well, I think I can get it together, and I'll reapply to Tulane. Well, I couldn't get back in Tulane. So I went to Guadalajara.
Okay.
Went to Guadalajara for 2 years. I studied. You know, it's in Spanish, so we learned Spanish, you know, roughly. You know, the anatomy and physiology and biology are, you know, a lot of words are the same in English and Spanish. So
wow, I did not know.
So so we had a lot of Americans down there that went to Guadalajara.
Sure.
And so after 2 years, I studied hard. I took the boards and did well. And they took me back at Tulane into the second year.
What a great experience.
I had been out for 66 to 78. So I took a leave of absence for 12 years. And they took me back.
And but it was providential.
Thank goodness. There was anatomy teacher named Ed Peebles.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the dean of students or some higher up. And he let me back in. So I came back in the second year. So
okay.
And then I graduated in 81 and
started
in medical school.
So how did you? So you leave Tulane?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're from you grew up in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find Cookeville, Putnam County, and the Upper Cumberland?
Well, I ended up going into pathology after mm-hmm. medical school, and I was at Tulane still. And I was at the Ochsner Foundation. Ochsner Foundation.
Clinic, yeah.
I went there for 4 years. And then after 4 years, I went to Birmingham for a fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
So I did 5 years of residency. And then I looked for a job. There was nothing in Nashville. And Cookeville was just – Glenn Hall hired mm-hmm. me.
Okay.
And it turned out to be the perfect place to move.
Oh, Thank goodness for us. We're blessed to have you with Dr. Womack and others, Dr. Hudson, that early group that was here. Yeah. So you
moved to Cookeville, and at that point, I had met Diane. Actually, she was a Peace Corps volunteer too in D.C., and we got together and we dated, and she went to England for a year, and I went to Guadalajara for a year, and eventually I got so lonely that I invited her to come to Guadalajara, so she came to Guadalajara.
And
great story. So the rest is history, kind of. So Diane and I got married in 80, and then we had a first child in 84.
Okay.
And a second in 86.
You have two children.
Two children.
Where
John and Heather. John's working with J&J as a financial advisor, mm-hmm. and Heather is working at St. Jude's. She's an assistant microbiologist at St. Jude's.
So you've
St.
got
Jude's.
Your family still.
So they're
close
they're
by.
They're one's in Dallas and one's in Memphis. So, and Diana and I are here, of course, and now I'm retired from pathology.
Yes, what a
26 years of pathology and retired, and I'm very happy, you know, for 11 years now.
Wow. I have learned so much already about you, Sam, and so we're gonna continue on in the next segment and really talk about your passions, your interests, your outdoor. I used to see you riding through our neighborhood at White Plains on you and your wife on your bicycle. So you're avid outdoor person. George Hofford was sent. Dr. Sam Glasgow retired. Back soon.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back. Here we are. We've talking with Dr. Sam Glasgow, retired pathologist, correct? And a great friend and great colleague and a leader in this community, communitarian. And now let's get to you as your passions, outdoors, the hiking, biking, you and your wife both, avid people. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that early years and what you've been involved in and what have you been doing and from the start.
Well, of course, we raised two kids, and they were both born. Well, they were born in 84 and 86. So I was a jogger for the longest time.
Yeah,
and eventually, in about 94. I decided I was a pathologist, and mm-hmm. so Diane and I found this Mayo Clinic conference in Europe.
Hmm.
And so it was a three-day conference in pathology, and they would invite Americans and they would invite Europeans. And so it was a mixed pathology conference, quite large, hundreds of pathologists together, and we started going on these trips, and after the conference, there was a 5 or 6 day bicycle trip. And so we just loved it. The first one was in Amsterdam. The second was in Austria. And then there was Germany, then France, and Ireland. And we went to, I think, 24 different countries, not different countries, but different summers, different May. We always went in May. But 24 trips, we've been to Europe to bicycle. And
so you have toured Europe via bicycle.
At one point, I was retired, but I wouldn't go to the conference. I would just go to the bike trip.
I understand.
So we love to bicycle, and that's how I got into bicycling.
So as we know, we could talk all day about in the brief time we have, but mm-hmm. this is one of those most diverse, the Upper Cumberland, what we have here, and we're going to talk more, the state parks, the hiking, the waterfalls, the kayaking. So you've always been an avid, you've been interested in this. So talk about the early years where you got involved in a more heavily involved in growing this tourism visitor phenomena.
Well, it was, let's see, I was a bicycler, and one day back in the early 2000s, I was biking up Brotherton Mountain, mm-hmm. which is quite a steep climb.
Yes.
And I realized that there was a railroad track right to my left as I biked up Brotherton mm-hmm. Mountain. And onto it flattened out into a beautiful farmland, mm-hmm. and it was just a gorgeous place to bicycle after you got up that big hill. And then it was a little rolling, and then you went up to mm-hmm. Crazy George's Bridge. I would usually just go to Crazy George's Bridge or just to the cemetery up there and turn around and go back down. But so I was thinking, would that be a really nice place to have a rail to trail. Now, I was thinking about
rail to trail, rail with trail.
Well, the rail had been deserted for years and years, and there were trees growing up in the middle of the rails, mm-hmm. so it was totally non-functional. So I was thinking this would be a fabulous place because it would be more gradual.
Oh,
going up Brotherton Mountain instead of going up that 10 or 15 degree angle, you could have maybe a 3% increase. And so I was thinking, and it's interesting because Keith Lilly was thinking
yes.
the same thing, except that he was thinking about a rail with trail. In other words,
explain the difference.
The rail with trail has a trail next to the rail track.
Still an active railroad.
That's right. Still an active railroad. And so he and Jenny Ivey and Chuck Womack, who's sitting right next to me, they decided to go up to Monterey and walk down the railroad track, which was really not in any kind of good shape. And they were saying, "Do you know about the Virginia Creeper Trail?"
Yes.
And can't we do something like that? Can we make a rail with trail, let's see if we can raise the money to refurbish this railroad track, and then we can have a trail right next to it.
Yes. Dr. Womack was the mayor at that time,
exactly.
I believe.
Exactly.
And we're going to talk more about that, and we're going to be talking to Mayor Womack, I still call him mayor, mm-hmm. In a future segment about the same type things. But this was Congressman Gordon. This was the beginnings of our rail trail program.
And
you were right there on the with Dr. Womack and Jenny and Keith Lilly on the cutting edge.
And what started it all was they discovered this great sand bank up there in Monterey. They mm-hmm. found that this was excellent sand that Middle Tennessee could use in construction.
So they restarted the rail program.
So the government redid the railroad to the tune of $7 or $8 million, as far as I remember.
Did not know that.
And say they refurbished the railroad track, and that's when we got to started trying to raise money for the rail with trail. So
and
we
that
started.
That was in early.
That was 2004 or 2005.
Yep.
We started 2005. We started having these things called Ale for the Trail, and Keith Lilly was a beer maker, And he had friends that made beer. And so we had people in Sparta, and I forget the brothers, but they—
they formed the brewery.
The brewery, yeah. And so we had Ale for the Trail, and we would have—
Sergio.
Sergio, exactly. Right. And we would have a spike or a section of the real trail, and we would engrave it with 2007 winner of the Ale for the Trail, and we'd have a contest. So all these—
I remember
These ale makers would compete, and everybody would have a little cup of each one, and we'd vote on which one was the best. So we started raising money for the ale for the railroad trail, of course.
Man, that is— so we're talking about the advent of potentially one of the biggest natural draws in this part of the country. And we're working
potentially.
We're gonna spend more time, Sam, when we come back, talking about those early years, talking about how it started, and where we're moving today. And it's just a really it's exciting. It really is.
It
and
is
the challenge of of trying to do a rail with trail instead of a rail to trail. It's not abandoned. I mean, it's an active railroad, which presents additional challenges. So those were the early years, and we're in the process of revitalizing, reengineering, working with the Rail Authority and Monterey, and we're going to come back next segment, and let's talk more about that. George Hofford with rail trail pioneer Sam Glasgow, back soon. We're back. George Hofford with Dr. Sam Glasgow, pathologist, retired, environmental leader, outdoor leader, communitarian, and a really good guy, good friend of mine, been knowing since 04. Doc, let's pick up where we left off in the last segment, where we're on the advent of a major natural resource that we're going to build over time, over a long time, a rail with trail. So let's talk more about— let's start there, and let's talk about the vision. It was Monterey to Cookeville. I think it was an 800-foot elevation change.
Exactly.
I mean, it's got all the elements of a unique— with a rail.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk more about that. And
exactly.
Getting started, what were the challenges? How'd we get it funded to begin
with? Well, we had authority meetings, and several of us, and Keith Lilly was the chair for several sessions. There were 3-year terms. We served 3-year terms, and we there were new members, Scott Keith, Ken Hall, Sue Neal, members in the community that served on the authority board, and so eventually we got the $2.5 million from Bart Gordon,
right?
And then eventually we got approval by— I forget who it was that approved us. At any rate, we got to the point where we had the money, we could bid it out. So we had two bids. One was I can't remember the two people that gave us a bid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Any rate, we went with the lower bid, and that was local. I don't think it was associated with Rogers Group, I think.
Okay.
But it was
okay.
Any rate, we took the lower bid, $1.7 million.
I was here during that era, but it was a very exciting time to see a vision, a dream become a reality. A lot of we dedicated the
we built it in 2016.
That's right.
Keith Lilly chaired that, and we had lots of donors. I wish I had my list in front of me, but we asked people to donate toward the Rail with Trail and we raised $25,000. Those Ale for the Trails, we had Ale for the Trails in 07, 08, 09, 010, and 11. And those first 4 years, I just looked at the notes later a little while ago, and we raised $25,000.
And back then, that was a significant mm-hmm, seed money. Mm-hmm. And then we had contractual relationships initially with the communities in our county,
mm-hmm,
and we took off and mm-hmm, built it. And the rail starts at either way it starts. Originally, the rail started downtown and the trailhead.
Mm-hmm.
What? You might talk
depot,
about the route. Let's go
right at the depot. There's a trailhead and there's a restroom there, and
parking lot.
And Keith and I had this idea to actually put rails up on the front of mm-hmm, the depot. Everybody yeah, needs to go look at the Cookeville depot and see the names of those people that gave.
Yes.
We have four or five different categories, and some people gave 2,000, and some people gave $250. But we had 55 donors in one by that time, I think, who are listed there on that depot. Now, so 2016, we had the 4.3-mile dedication.
Yes.
And we had a dedication in 2016. After that, we got Brad Sells, who built this beautiful spokes.
Wonderful entrance.
Architectural, what is it? A lot of soldering and, welding. Welding of bicycle parts.
It's the trailhead.
Yes, yeah, beautiful over there at the depot. We've dedicated three benches to Chuck Womack, Keith Lilly, and Mac Pritchard.
Okay,
and so we have beautiful.
We're building a rail trail. We're mm-hmm, here with Dr. Sam Glasgow, George Alford, and Sam Glasgow, a founder and a great communitarian. Sam, let's go back. Let's talk. Let's keep going. So we built. Okay. We're building the trail.
Okay. Well, it was a very very difficult time to go up Brotherton Mountain.
Yes.
We tried to go along the railroad track, but the owners that were adjacent to the rail didn't really want us to use their right of way, and so we decided we were going to have to go up the road, the Brotherton Mountain
mm-hmm,
Road,
mm-hmm,
and that is a very steep climb, and it's going to be very difficult to put a.
That's going to be the real. Issue, but
it's very hard.
Is it $1 million a mile? It's a very
probably $1 million a mile.
It's expensive. It's long term. So mm-hmm, this is mm-hmm, going to happen. It's happening, mm-hmm, but it's a challenge, and mm-hmm, it's going to be it is going to be unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So we move forward on that, and
so
then the rail
several years we've struggled to. We've had some great leaders, great chairs. I might mention Tara Wilgemuth, mm-hmm, Brian Payne.
Yep. Some of our current younger people coming on. Yeah.
Let me see. Brandon Stevenson.
Yes. So on the Rail Authority.
On Rail Authority.
And you're on the Rail Authority still.
No, I'm not on the Rail Authority.
But Dr. Womack is.
I'm actually on the Friends. Now,
yeah, let's talk about the Friends a moment.
The second. Surge of energy has come about by this younger generation.
Amen.
Of people that are becoming leaders in the Friends group. It's the Friends of the TCT. Now, the authority board, Chuck is still on the authority board, and there are like eight members on that. But there's a whole bunch of people that came out to our first meeting of the Friends group. And we have young leaders who I might mention a few of them, but mm-hmm, of course Heather Call was on the authority board, and Craig Hughes is participating with our Friends group too. But we have young leaders like Mike Lepley,
yes,
and Jamie Newman,
yep,
and a whole bunch of others who have stepped forward. And we had our first fundraiser in September this last year, Ride to the Sky. We took over the Ride to the Sky, and we had only a few months to get it ready, but we ended up getting 300 riders.
Wow, we were
to participate in four different.
I forgot originally.
We had 10 milers, yeah. We had 35 milers or 60 milers, and we had four different routes.
Yeah.
And so we had 300 bikers the first, even with only 3 months or three or four months go time. So we planned it September, and we're going to have our second Ride to the Sky this September. I can't remember the exact date, September 2024. So, and Mike Lepley says we're going to have 500 riders. So he's
and these
the,
are people
the
from all over. I mean,
these are guys that have just gotten into the rail trail movement.
Yes,
but this new surge of energy from these young leaders is really terrific.
And they're excited.
They're very excited, and we have a lot of young women that are our leaders.
Right. You know, Sam. In the chamber world, there was you learn various segments of your economy or whatever, and it is really gratifying to know we have a large, substantial group of young, predominantly young people who are outdoors. I mean, the cyclists, the joggers, the marathoners, the kayakers. So we've hit a nerve here, mm-hmm. and I want to go back, mm-hmm. and we're going to be talking to Mayor Womack. The vision of seeing it's economic development. It's people coming here, spending money, not going home. We don't have to educate going home. We don't have to educate their kids. And it's the cleanest, purest form of economic development. And that's what the rail trail, one of the things it is and will be.
Mm-hmm.
So
and we've recently, for our spring event, so we did a polar plunge and we had a great turnout. And it was in a cold lake up at Meadow Creek, and Heather Call has a unit up there where she can open up and promote things. We had the people in Monterey came out in force. Rafferty Cleary
doing a great job
up there. We had a hike first. We had like a three-mile hike, and then we all jumped in the lake, you know.
Sam, there's a wealth of information, and I wish we had more time. But let's wrap up, kind of a summary of the rail trail, where we are, where does it start, where does it end, and how what we're doing.
The current trail is 4.3 miles. We want to go east. We want to go toward Cane Creek Park, but we also want to go. West Cane Creek Park, and we also want to go east up Brotherton Mountain, and. So those are two of our goals, and we don't want to just do one. We want to do both. But we have this young group of young leaders, and I've mentioned some of them already, but males and females, they're excited people. And we've raised now with the total money we've raised, I think over $100,000.
It's great. So, but it's going to be about a 40-mile – it'll happen over time, $1 million a mile.
Yeah.
But one day, and maybe not in our lifetime, but we're going to have even a larger national tourist attraction. Thank you, Sam. We just ran out of time. George Hofford, Dr. Sam Glasgow, Local Matter.
Thank you, George.